Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Forbes wondered why Harry doesn't actually produce any content. We've discussed the Netflix and Spotify deals before, and we are still waiting for episode 2 of your podcast. Harry, let us know if you want us to come over with a USB mic and a MacBook. We'll do it for free if you say yes. But Forbes suggests part of the problem is that it's just plain hard to produce impactful content in any medium, and that difficulty is compounded when it is as difficult as it is to pinpoint what the production entity, Archwell, is actually meant to do. It's a very broadly cast, not-for-profit, yet somewhat commercial media charity enterprise. And that problem has not gone away either. In fact, its many portfolios only seem to breed more portfolios, charitable and not. The second complication is that the couples are, admirably so, deeply politically engaged in a wide array of causes, some of which, such as Centre Bale, Harry's Lesotho and Botswana HIV orphan charity, or Invictus, are well established. But these efforts and others take time and don't rake in the big bucks. If we add to that their impulse to respond to societal problems as reflected in the breaking news, as in Meghan Markle's swift day trip from Los Angeles to the memorial for the school children in Uvalde, Texas, it shouldn't seem a surprise that both Harry and Meghan Markle seem rushed and spread quite thin. This picture isn't alleviated, in fact it is only intensified by the long-standing tensions between the Windsors of Montecito and the Windsors of Windsor. This brings us neatly back to Harry's upcoming book, due out in a few short breezy back-to-school weeks. For their part, the royal family is reported to be dreading the publication. They should. First, it's as told to co-author J.R. Moringer, a vastly more gifted and nuanced literary craftsman than the publicist reporters who ginned up the previous pro-Harry, pro-Meghan hagiography, Finding Freedom. This point is not about them, rather the point is that Moringer's memoir, The Tender Bar, is a grand, sophisticated literary work on finding family. Ergo, if there are passages in this book about events in Harry's life that may be read as reflectingly negatively on Charles, William, their wives, or the Queen now, in Moringer's hands, those passages will be razor sharp. Harry will definitely include the death of his mother in this book. As we note from his UN speech, and practically every other speech he has ever given, he carries her death with him. Which is to say, woven within this book's narrative will be an account of the death of Diana like no other than any of us have ever read. Royal expert Duncan Larcombe told the Daily Beast, "Once Harry's book is released, William will have to make a decision on what he will do about Harry. The truth is that if you, as a prominent member of the royal family, write a book that says it all, you have broken the first rule of the royal family." Royal author and historian believes Prince William and Harry will go their separate ways. Andrew Morton, author of Diana, Her True Story in 1992, told the Daily Beast, "I very much doubt they will be reconciled. There is a lot of wishful thinking about this. When the time they spent in London was brief, to say the least, there was no suggestion of having dinner or lunch or getting the children together. They will go their separate ways, and the longer Harry and Meghan stay in America, the more comfortable they will be there. There is even a historical comparison." Morton said, "George VI adored his brother, like Harry adored William. They were inseparable. But then he abdicated, moved abroad, and the relationship was never the same again. William and Harry are in a similar situation." Palace Intrigue will be right back. Tom Bauer weighed in on Meghan's political ambitions, telling the Daily Mail's Palace Confidential show, "I think she'd quite like a political role. I think she'll first wait to see her children into school. She'll build the foundations for it. But she's a very good-looking woman. She's sassy. She's got her issues like parental rights. There have been worse people who have been congresswomen, so there's a good chance. Her problem is twofold. One is that it's very badly paid, and Meghan needs a lot of money. And secondly, you've got to be pretty tough in a political fight. Whether she has the ability to be so tough and insensitive to go with the rocks and rolls, we'll see. She can't sue people as she'd like to in Britain for attacking her." You've heard of the Burger King, but Her Majesty is a Burger Queen who has her own McDonald's. The Mirror reports the Crown Estate owns £13 billion worth of property, including a McDonald's branch 80 miles outside of London at the Banbury Gateway Shopping Park. While there is doubt as to whether the Queen has or will ever visit, it seems to have more of a regal aesthetic than over branches, leather, sofas, digital menu boards, urns, chairs, laminate floors, and table service. The Mirror adds, with drive-through services available 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., maybe the Queen is more likely to pull up in the Bentley on her way to Balmoral. And there you have it. If you'd like to email us, our address is thepalaceintrigue@gmail.com. Please follow us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your favorite shows. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue. Good times.